Let's turn in our Bibles tonight to the book of 1 John, chapter 5. 1 John, chapter 5. I want you to know I wrestled with the Lord all afternoon about this sermon tonight, and I wanted to preach a different one. I have with the kidney stones and all this that I've been dealing with here lately. I'm leaving in 2 weeks, and we're going to Lebanon. So I'll be gone July the 10th, and Glenn Matthews is going to come and preach that day, and so you just go ahead and tell you that, and then we get back from Lebanon, and I will be here on the 17th, and then we're going on our vacation, then the Sword Conference is the week after that, and then Karen and I are going to stay down at Seabrook for a week, so I will miss the 10th and the 17th and the 31st, and the following week, whatever that is, the 24th and then the 31st, so not knowing, you know, how I was going to, I didn't know if I'd be able to walk or, you know, with the kidney stones of it. Thank the Lord that's passed, and so literally, and what I have done is basically I have crammed, and had a bunch of sermon ideas in a drawer, and so I opened the drawer and found a bunch of sermon ideas, and I put together about 7 or 8 sermons on my desk, and I wanted to this morning during Sunday school, I was going over what I was going to do tonight, and I wanted to preach one that would get you hollering amen, and you know, but then the Lord would not let me get away from this one, and then I come in here tonight, and all of the music has been geared toward the subject that I want to speak on. And he did not know that. I did not tell him any of this when he was preparing the songs. And so there were 4 verses of one, or 5 verses in one song. He said, let's sing the fourth. The fourth went along, the fifth didn't. Then the third stanza of the second hymn that we sung tonight went right along with the message. And I want to begin reading in verse 1 of 1 John chapter 5. And then my text is going to be verse 4, the last part of verse 4. But let me read down to that so that you get the context in which the text sits. All right, so look at verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. And this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. His commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Now, would you think about that statement for just a moment? This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Amen. I want to speak to you tonight a message that I'm going to entitle Victory Over a Broken Heart. Victory over a broken heart. You know, our world's a mess. You know that. Tragedy can strike any family, any home, at any given minute. We have no guarantees for tomorrow. None. And there are so many people today that I don't know if it's just because we have the internet now and we have 24-hour news channels. I'm not sure. I would like to have somebody do a study to find out, but it just seems like that there is more tragedy, more heartache, more despair, more broken hearts than there has ever been. You know, people walking into airports and shooting up the airport, people going into nightclubs and killing people in the nightclubs. And it's just amazing the tragedy that is at every turn today. I want to ask you a question, and this has been asked of me several times in the last little while. But I've been asked this question my entire ministry. But I want to ask you the question, and then hopefully I want to try and answer the question for you tonight. But the question is this: what do people do when tragedy strikes and they have no faith? You ever wonder, where do people turn when they have no faith in God? That's sad, isn't it? You know, you and I know the Lord. And when tragedy strikes, when sorrow hits, when some devastating thing transpires in our lives, we have the Lord. And we can trust in the Lord. And we find our strength in the Lord. But where does the world go? I watched the reaction to of the families that were involved in that shooting down in Orlando. I tell you, they didn't handle things very well. Those families, most of them have no hope whatsoever. None. Where do people turn when they have no faith? Well, that's kind of what I want to talk about tonight. Let's pray, and then I'll give you the message. Father, thank you for the word. Thank you for the comfort that we get from your word. And I pray you'll bless what I'm about to say tonight. Give us the ability to hear this. I just pray that our minds will be attuned to every word, and that, Father, you will help us to hear this and to hide it in our hearts. We may not need what I'm about to say right now, but if the Lord tarries, we will need it somewhere down the road. And so, Father, I pray that you will help us to hear the message tonight. Strengthen and encourage us. I just pray for your Holy Spirit to empower every word that I'm about to say and use it for your glory. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. I suppose over the last few years, I have been asked this question a dozen times. What do people do when they do not know the Lord? How do they handle the situations and the strife and the problems that life brings? I have stood beside many caskets through the years, and I've had a broken-hearted family ask me that question. Pastor, what do people do when they lose a loved one and they have no faith? What do they do? I have stood by a hospital bed many a time, and I have heard that question asked. I have sat in my office and had a broken-hearted wife or a broken-hearted husband ask me that question. I've had teenagers ask me, Pastor, how do people handle life's tragedies without faith in the living God? Years ago, when I pastored down in Nitro, West Virginia, we had a young boy, about 17, 18 years old, had just graduated from high school and was a star athlete. He was popular. He was handsome. He just had nothing but a bright future ahead of him. But being careless in an automobile cost this young man his life. And it was tragic. Our church family was crushed when that young man passed away. His family was one of the key families in our church. The grandparents, the parents, and all the siblings of the parents. One of the key families in our church. And this young man was tragically killed in a car accident. And that dear mother looked at me at the funeral home as hundreds and hundreds of teenagers from the high school came to pay their respects and to let the family know that they loved that boy. And the mother turned to me as I was standing beside them at the casket, and she said, Pastor, what do people do when they don't know the Lord? I tell you, I wonder sometimes, don't you? Oh, be thankful you know Christ. Just a few years ago, a 40-something-year-old mother of three came to my office and asked if she could speak with me. And I sat down with her, and she told me that she and her family lived outside of Baltimore, and that they attended a church much like ours, but she said that she could not go to speak with her own pastor, so she just took a chance and drove up to see me, hoping that I would be able to see her. And she said that her own pastor was so close to the situation, and she said, I would just appreciate it if you could give me your advice. And so I said, sure. And she sat down and she wept and told me her story. And when she told me her story, she told me how her husband left her for someone that he met at work. And there she sat in my office, brokenhearted. And I felt so sorry for that poor lady. I mean, absolutely, my heart was broken for her. And I counseled her as best I could and read some scripture with her and prayed with her and encouraged her to trust the Lord. And as she prepared to leave, she turned around and through the tears, she asked me, Pastor, what do people do when they don't know the Lord? What do people do? Now, I want to talk to you tonight, not so much to try and answer the question of how folks who don't know the Lord make it, or as the Apostle Paul stated this, having no hope and without God. I don't want to deal with the negative side of this. But instead, I want to speak on the positive side, and I want us to ask ourselves, how is it that our faith helps us when life just crashes down around us and gives us a broken heart? Notice the verse. He said, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. I want to talk to you tonight about how our faith helps us when we have a broken heart. Now, if you don't need this message right now, would you listen anyway? Because you may not need it right now, but I'm telling you, you're going to need it down the road. And so I want you to listen. There's something here to help you tonight. I want you to notice with me how faith helps us in times when our hearts are broken. I'll give you four quick things. Number one, faith helps us hold on to our God. I mean, when the bottom of your world just falls out and you're dangling, when everything crushes around you, your faith in God will help you to hold on to the Lord. We have all known folks who have had to face tragedy in their lives, and they have no faith in God. And when the tragedy strikes, their broken heart soon turns into an anger towards God. They get bitter towards God and blame God for their tragedy. And as each day passes, that bitterness or that anger that is in their heart just seems to grow stronger and stronger with each day. But if you know the God of heaven, faith in God helps you to hold on to God even when your heart is broken. You say, Pastor, how does faith do that? Well, faith in God reminds you that even in the tragedy, God is in control. Even in the tragedy, God is in control. Faith allows us to understand that an all-wise, all-powerful, all-benevolent God is presiding over our lives. Folks, I've said this multitudes of times, but we need to realize and understand that God is in control. And understand that God never looks over the battlements of heaven at what is going on in your life and then goes, whoops. God never looks at your life and what's happening and then goes, uh-oh. No, He's in complete control. I don't profess to understand why bad things happen to good people. I don't profess to understand that. But I do know that sometimes even God's people have to endure painful and bitter things that God allows in our lives. Can I remind you that it was wicked old Satan who was permitted to try righteous Job. But the devil had to get permission from God before he could afflict Job. And with what Satan did to Job, most of us would have probably thrown in the towel and found ourselves a hole somewhere, crawled into that hole, and then filled it in with dirt. But not Job. Job trusted God, and God led him through the trial. Folks, I submit to you that the reason that God allowed the devil to attack Job is because God knew that Job would be able to handle it and would glorify Him in the process. And I'm here tonight to tell you the devil still afflicts and he still tries the hearts of men. But his afflictions are always with the permission of God. And we need to understand that. The devil cannot lay a finger on any of us without God's permission. So why does God allow us to have to endure these awful wounds that the devil can inflict? Well, folks, listen. It is God who permits trials to come upon us, but never forget that it is also God who has promised to give us strength in the trial so that we can endure it. Don't ever forget that point. You see, Job decided that he didn't understand why he had to go through all the trouble that the devil was throwing at him. But here's what Job said in the midst of it. He said, "And when I am tried, I shall come forth as gold." And he did. He did. He learned to trust in God even when his whole world fell apart. So when things happen to us in God's plan, there is always a treasure to be gleaned. Always. Let me remind you, folks, that God has promised us in His Word, in 1 Corinthians 10:13, and God can never go back on His Word. But God has promised us that He will not put more on you than you can handle. And that when God does allow a trial to come your way, that He will, with every trial, make a way of escape. Instead of sitting around and feeling sorry for yourself for the trial, look for your way of escape. Amen. Because it's there. And God gives treasures when we have to go through the storm. You say, what kind of treasures, Pastor? How about peace? How about strength? How about endurance? God gives peace and strength and endurance, and He allows us to thrive when we trust Him. Folks, there is no greater peace that can be felt than the peace that comes from God blessing those that trust Him. Amen. But then secondly, we're talking about what our faith does for us. Secondly, faith in God gives us courage for the battles of life. Our faith gives us courage. When your heart is wounded and yet you trust in God, and then you pick up your cross and you follow the Lord, faith inspires courage. We have all seen those who have had a life give them a devastating blow, and we have marveled at their courage to keep pressing on for the Lord. Somehow, and folks, I can't explain it. I don't have an explanation. I just know that it happens. Somehow, our faith in God inspires courage so that we can face life when we're trusting in God. I've had folks come to see me through the years and tell me their story, and I've had them sit across from my desk and weep and cry, and their hearts so broken that it just grieved my heart to hear them tell their story. But then time and time again, I've had them look at me and say, but Pastor, I'm not going to quit. Oh, praise God for those folks. Praise God for those folks. Pastor, I'm not going to give up. I will not forsake the Lord, for it's only through God's promises that I'm able to bear the burdens that I am forced to carry. I'm saying, folks, that faith in God simply gives us the courage to face our situations. I asked a man, one man in our church just a couple of years ago, and his story, I'm not going to tell you because he still comes to church here. And some of you may know it. You know I was talking about him. But there's no way you can figure out who it is. But he was telling me his story. And I said to him, I said, well, let me ask you. I said, how are you going to keep going? And he looked at me and he smiled and he said, one step at a time, Pastor. Now, folks, if I told you a story, it's devastating. I mean, absolutely devastating. And I said, how are you going to get through this? He said, one step at a time, Pastor. He said, Pastor, when all this happened in my family, I realized that this would either make me or break me. And he said, I sat down last week with my Bible and I prayed and said, Lord, give me something to hold on to. And he said, in just a matter of minutes, I was reading out of Psalm 50. And in verse 15, I found my life verse. And that life verse goes this way. Call upon me in the day of trouble and I will deliver thee. Now, buddy, let me tell you, you talk about revival. Revival broke out in the office that afternoon. Courage is the ability to trust God and His promises and just go on. And your faith gives you the courage to face the battles of life. Number three, listen very carefully to this. I'll state it and then I'll explain it. Number three, our faith draws out, pulls out the thorns of bitterness. You know, when tragedy strikes, boy, a lot of us get bitter, don't we? Oh, we get angry at God. God, why would you do this to me? We live in a world that is just filled with bitter, angry people. When the day of adversity and misfortune comes, so many people today turn bitter towards God. I've had folks ask me, how could God let this happen to me? Folks, I really don't know of a more lamentable state than to be found with a heart full of bitterness towards God. Man, that's a dangerous place to be in. Not to believe in God is bad enough, but to be bitter towards God, that's an awful spot to be. And it is so easy for a Christian to get their heart wounded and then blame God for their wound and then get bitter towards God. I've had people say to me, Pastor, I just don't understand it. I come to church and I tithe and I do this and I do that and I help here and I help there. And then disaster struck my home and it's God's fault. Let me just stop right here. No, it's not. It is not God's fault. It's sin's fault. Don't get mad at God, get mad at the devil, and get mad at sin. Amen. Paul talked about the danger of allowing a root of bitterness to creep into your soul. And that's what happens. We get our heart wounded, and then we get angry at God, and we get bitter at God. And before long, that bitterness takes a root, and it digs in. And when it digs in, it's well nigh impossible to get rid of. Be careful, Christian. Be careful. You don't want a root of bitterness to take place in your heart. It's worse than any garden weed, for no matter how many times you pull it, it just keeps coming back and revealing itself. But faith in God pulls out the thorn, but it also digs out the root. Amen. Folks, don't add to your burden by allowing your wounded heart to grow bitter against God. It's when your heart is wounded that you need God. So don't let the devil allow you to get bitter toward the one that you need. And the devil will eat you alive with that awful sin of bitterness if you let him do it. But let your faith in God pull out the thorns and you just trust God. Don't blame God. Trust God in the midst of the storm. Why me? Well, folks, listen, if anybody had a right to ask that question, it was probably the Apostle Paul. But he didn't ask that question, so why should you? Why should I ask it? Instead, Paul said, Lord, it's an honor to be able to suffer for you and to be able to suffer for your name. So, folks, let your faith draw out the thorn of bitterness. And then number four, the last thing I want you to see. Your faith We're talking about when your heart is broken, what will your faith do for you? And number four, your faith will make the company, the companionship of Jesus real. It'll make the companionship of the Lord Jesus real. Don't forget, folks, it takes the night to reveal to us the stars. They are always there. You ever realize that? You just can't see them in the daytime. But they're there. When the sun is shining at full strength at midday, the stars are out in all their splendor and glory, but it is only when the sun has gone down beyond the western horizon and its golden torch has been quenched and night darkness fills the sky that you and I are able to see the stars. And I want you to know that the brightest of all stars in the spiritual heavens is the star of Christ's companionship. Do you think that you're the only person in human history who has ever had a wounded heart? Do you think you're the only person in human history who has ever had a hard time? Do you think that nobody else throughout all of time has ever had anything devastating happen to them? But you see, your faith in Christ can make Christ real to you. There is nothing like being in the hour of need and coming by faith to God in prayer and seeing the Lord Jesus standing beside you through your eyes of faith. Job said it this way. He said, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. And boy, when you're going through the storm and your heart is wounded, and you don't know where to turn, but all of a sudden your faith kicks in and you turn to the Lord, like Job, your eyes of faith will allow you to see him. Man, that's precious if you want my opinion. Christian, you'll never walk alone if you have faith in the Lord. That's the point. You will never walk alone. No matter what comes your way, remember the Lord Jesus said, and lo, I am with you alway. All the way. Remember that the author of the book of Hebrews tells us that the Lord Jesus said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now, you exercised faith in the Lord when you were a sinner in need of a Savior. And one day you called upon the name of the Lord by faith, and He responded to your faith, and He redeemed your soul. All right? Now, in the day when your heart is wounded and your spirit is crushed and you need help, use that same faith that you trusted Him for your soul's salvation for, and use that same faith to sustain you and to for the Lord to stand by your side when your heart is bleeding. Just trust the Lord, and man, He'll become real to you. I mean, just like Job, through eyes of faith, you will see Him standing by your side in your hour of need. Folks, how else could we make it when our hearts are torn in two? How else could we make it? Well, we have something the world doesn't have. I sat the other day and I watched the news, and before I came over to the church, and I was sitting there watching some of the stories about the funerals, and all those folks were just, I mean, devastated. Well, we're all devastated when a loved one dies. But you know, Christians die different. Yeah, we really do. We really do. You know, I've been overseas where in third world countries where there's no hope. And I've seen funerals over there. Oh, you talk about anguish of soul. And I asked a preacher friend of mine one time, I said, wow. He goes, I know. He said, this is the way it is. Just scream and the family running and trying to get the person out of the casket, and they had to peel them off the casket as they're taking it to the grave. And we stood there and watched this, and I looked over to Pastor, and I said, wow, no hope here, is there? He said, none. When their loved ones are gone, there's no hope of ever seeing them again. But that's not our faith, is it? Our faith is not in a dead Savior. Our faith is in a living Savior. How else could we make it? And I cannot tell you how many people have said through the years, Pastor, if it wasn't for the Lord, I just don't know how I'd make it. I just don't know. So, Christian, hold on to your faith in the Lord. Hold on to it. You can be assured, based on promise after promise after promise in the Bible, that it is never a question of God forsaking you, but of you forsaking God. But it's never a question that God will ever forsake you. He won't. He can't. Because he said he never could in his word. Amen. I'm asking you tonight to hold on to your faith. I'm asking you to hold on to God. And I promise you that God will hold on to you. Paul found that to be the case with all the trials that he had to face. And yet, down through the years, right to the very end, his testimony was that he kept the faith. But wait a minute, not only did Paul keep the faith, but the faith kept Paul. Amen. David found this to be true. I mean, looking back over some deep sea of trouble that he went through, David said, I had fainted lest I had believed. I had fainted lest I had believed. And then he concludes and he says, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. This is where the wounds of the heart will get mended. Waiting on the Lord. This is where our victory is going to come from. Folks, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but I'm telling you, our world's not getting any better. Now, I'm sorry to have to break that to you. It's not getting any better. You know, progressives think that if they're running the show, we're eventually going to get to utopia. Well, they've been running the show for nearly 100 years. And we're not getting to utopia. We're getting to Chaos City. Matter of fact, we're already here. It's not getting any better. You see, the devil knoweth that he hath but a short time. So if the Lord tarries his coming, this sermon will become more and more needed to mend our wounded hearts. Pastor, what do people do when they have no faith? Pastor, how do folks make it who don't know the Lord? Well, this is the victory that overcometh the wounds of this old ugly world, even our faith. How's your faith tonight, Christian? How's your faith? You say, well, Pastor, mine's a little weak, all right? Here's what you need. Can I write you a prescription? The prescription is getting a book. You see, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And as this thing drags on, and the Lord tarries His coming, if you don't need a great faith right now, mark my word, the day is coming when you will. You ought to start building that faith now and get in the book.